The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
And we begin the second hour at the National Intel Report. Steve Elkins here at the mic, and co-host today is my good friend Vincent Finelli of USA Prepare. So, Vincent, you were just informing us on Max's rule, and so I guess I've just figured this out. My legal question to you is, how could this guy back out of the contract? This must have been in writing. You made the purchase in the summer for the fuel at the price of, what, $1.79 per gallon for the propane. This is a man-made shortage they created themselves. But you were not able to take possession of what you paid for already until the fall. So I guess under Max's law, what you'd be saying is when you make the purchase, you make the contract, and you pay initially up front, you should immediately take possession. Am I correct?
Yeah. And by the way, this did not happen to me. This happened to several people that our family knows. And they were complaining about this because it was literally maybe 10 degrees outside, and they needed heat. And they were down to 10% fuel in their tank. So, yes, they paid $1.79 in advance, and they were told by this propane company, yeah, we'll get you some. We're only going to get you 100 gallons at a time. You'll have to pay for that in advance. And we'll, so you pay $4.49 a gallon to replace the propane that you haven't used that you paid $1.79 for. And you could only get 100 gallons at a time. So the problem is, this was a small company, and they told their customers, tell you what, you can sue us, and we'll close our doors, and you won't get anything. Or you can back off, and, you know, when the price comes down, you'll get your propane, but we don't know when that is. So what happened was, I bought the best, you know. They paid cash, but they didn't take delivery. So that's an example of, you know, violating Max's law. So what do you do? Well, you don't let that happen to you. And had the customers done what we do, that never would have happened. We are never in that position because in that particular circumstance, we own our propane tank. We own it. And I don't pay $1.79 a gallon. I pay $1.11 a gallon. And the reason is, I look at the propane prices. I can go to the internet just as everyone else can, and I can type wholesale energy prices. And I get gasoline, diesel fuel, home heating fuel, propane, electricity, all of it. And I look at what's the wholesale price. And then I look at what is a reasonable markup for the guy who is the jobber, the guy who goes to the terminal, gets the diesel fuel or the home heating oil or the farm fuel or the gasoline. What is a reasonable markup? And then, so I know what his cost is.
So what is the markup?
Well, I mean, propane was maybe 40 cents a gallon. And in the summer, it was selling for, the lowest price was $1.11. But most companies were asking $1.79 a gallon for it. So from 40, 45 cents to $1.79, I mean, that's pretty high.
Yeah, it is.
So here's what people do. Yeah. They don't think about the cold until it's cold. And because of that, these companies can lock in contracts to buy propane when the price is lower. They have to front the money, and then they can take delivery, just as these customers I was telling you about. Well, what I do is I buy it when no one's thinking about propane. I buy motor oil when nobody's thinking about motor oil. I buy long sleeve shirts in the summer when everybody's thinking of short sleeve shirts. So I shift and I do our purchasing opposite of the GDP.
Understand. Right. You know, I could say they also, that would also, you know, apply to firewood. And I was talking to Keith Rogers. He had to buy a bunch of firewood, and he made sure he bought it in the off season to get the supply delivered to him. And everybody else who waits for that first cold spurt ends up laying and saying, I need more firewood. Oh, well, the price has gone up here now. So that's another good fuel source also that you probably could apply to this scenario. Take possession. Don't wait.
We do that. Here's an example. And these are real numbers. Mm-hmm. So in the summer when it's really hot and no one wants to cut firewood, There are mills that will sell it because it's just piling up. They can't wait to get rid of it because it's in the way.
Yeah.
So they'll sell a bundle. A bundle might weigh between 1 and 2,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. It'll be about 8.5, sometimes 9 feet long, and it is bigger than a hula hoop. So it's really heavy. And in order to get one of these bundles, you'll need a trailer. And you might be able to get, you know, a 16-foot trailer. We might be able to get two, possibly three on there. Okay. And how much is it in the summer? $15. How much is in the winter? $100.
Wow. Amazing. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it pays to plan ahead, way ahead. Interesting. I want to say that the phone lines are open. If you have a USA Prepares type question here, we've got an expert here with us today, Vincent Finelli of USA Prepares, 1-800-313-9443. Call in, give us a comment, give us a question, give us something else we can educate you on. At least Vincent can. I might be able to poke in a little bit. But we have Vincent for another 50 minutes here. I think we ought to use him for his expertise and what he can bring to the table here as far as being prepared. I always like talking to you, Vincent. You teach me a lot. You've taught me a lot over the past year or so. And I'm thanking you for coming on today. I appreciate that. Right. So let's start off with something else. What else do you have on the table here today you want to talk about as far as preparedness? What do you got?
I got the neatest question over the weekend from one of our instructors. He called me up, and he mentioned that he was thinking about getting a generator, a gasoline-powered generator to ride out the storms. There's flooding, there's power outages, and you know, it's just a great idea. But he already had one.
Right.
And he said to me, he told me the price, and I think it was about $600, and the Chinese factory tool outlet had them on sale.
Right.
And he said, what do you think about getting another generator? And I said, well, you already have one. And the one that you have is a different make model from the one you're talking about. He said, right.
Right.
And he thought what he could do is, or what he wanted to know was, could he hook up two of them? Because he has an electric range. And an electric range will stall one of these small air-cooled generators. I'm talking like a 5,000, 6,000-watt job, maybe even 7,000 watts.
Right.
You know, you're running along, and you've got, you know, some lights on, that's nothing. You're running your well pump, that's nothing. You turn on your oven, boom, the generator shuts down. It stalls it right then and there. So he thought he could get two of them and maybe tie them together. And the answer is no. You cannot if they are not an inverter generator. Now, some generators are made so that you can run two of them in parallel. There's a box that connects them, and it synchronizes them. But for the standard generator, no, you can't. I'll tell you why. So here's what's really important to most of the devices that you might be using. For example, let's say you want to run your TV from a generator, gas power generator. Can you? Sure. How about a computer? Sure. But those kinds of devices that have transformers and power supplies are looking for 60 cycles per second. The new term is hertz. But, you know, I'm kind of an antique, so I would use cycles per second. Well, the reason that 60 cycles per second AC alternating current is important is everything in the United States that plugs into a wall outlet is expecting 60 cycles per second. If you don't have it, those devices generally don't work as well. Light bulbs will work fine, but you know, incandescents will. Fluorescents might flicker. Motors might not work so well. So 60 cycles is really important. If you have a generator, you'll find out that the revolutions per minute of that gas-powered generator is about 3,600 RPM. And the idea is it must be divisible by 60 for 60 cycles per second. So 3,600 divided by 60 cycles per second is 60. So you'll find out that it'll either be a diesel generator running 1,800 RPM or a gas running at, or propane running at 3,600, which is pretty much wide open throttle. But how do you get it to run at exactly 3,600 RPM? You can't. So if you have two generators that are running, oh, maybe one's running at 3,400, the other's running at 3,600, the sine wave output of each one will cause them to fight each other. And the one with the higher voltage beats up the one with the lower voltage. And the lower voltage one gets destroyed in the process.
Right.
So that's why you can't do it. So I thought that was a really interesting question. I know it was a long response, but I think maybe some who are with us tonight might want to know, can you do it? No. Unless they're inverter-type generators.
Right, right. And the fuel sources, was this a fuel source of gasoline versus or propane? Was it both, by chance?
Well, his happened to be gasoline powered. Then we talked about let's analyze the situation. And I explained to him that 746 watts equals 1 horsepower.
Right.
So a 10 horsepower generator can only produce 7,460 watts, period. That's the maximum. That's assuming there's no frictional losses and everything's working perfectly, which is never the case. Right. So that's a rule of thumb. So how does this work in terms of using a generator? Well, if you have LED lights, then you can light up your whole house with 100 watts if you had to. So that's not a big deal. A well pump, that's a big one, right? Well, a well pump might be 1 horsepower. That's 746 watts. That's not so bad. But it takes 2 to 3x to start that well pump. So now we're looking at, let's say, 2,500 watts. That's not so bad. That'll work also. Well, what about that range? 5,000 watts. That's a big problem. So if the well pump kicks on while you've got your lights and you've got your TV running, you're okay. But when you fire up that stove, it's not going to work. So what do you do? Well, you don't have an electric stove. You go with propane or natural gas. My choice is propane because I don't even trust the, you know, the city environment to deliver natural gas. Because when do people use gas? When it's cold. Right. So if everybody's using gas and the city can't get more gas, people could die. So I'm not willing to trust anything. Not my electricity, not gas, not energy. Max's law, right?
Right.
Buy the best, pay cash, take delivery.
Take delivery.
So if you have your own propane, you're probably in good shape. So that generator, that, let's say, 8-horsepower generator, is probably going to burn a gallon of gasoline per hour. That's 24 gallons a day. Who has that much gasoline?
Exactly.
Nobody.
Right. You know, I used to work on the C5 Galaxy and the C141 Starlifter when I was in the Air Force, and I used to love those APUs, the auxiliary power units, those big old diesel power units. I used to hook up to the airplane, turn the power on, and go work on the aircraft. And I thought, gosh, if I could get my hands on one of those, Vincent, I don't know if your military surplus, if those things ever make it into being sold as used. Have you ever seen any of those military APUs out there? Those
not
big ones that we use on the aircraft? You ever see those out there anywhere?
Well, yes and no. When I say yes, in a different format, the military had lots of diesel generators. And they were made by a company. The engines were Onan, O-N-A-N. Mm-hmm. They were air-cooled two-cylinder and four-cylinder models. They were roughly 10 horsepower and 20 horsepower, respectively. I have owned both. So the two-cylinder one, the small one, weighs about 1,000 pounds. The larger four-cylinder weighs more. Now, think about this. 1,000 pounds for a 5,000-watt generator. If you go to Home Depot or Lowe's or anywhere else, the Chinese factory tool outlet, and you say, I'd like to buy one of those 5,000-watt generators, you know it's not going to weigh 1,000 pounds. That's because true. It's really not 5,000 watts. But the military right. one is. So how much I paid, I think, between $1,100 and $1,300 for a used version of the military generator that you're talking about.
Okay.
And right. it is awesome. And it burns about a third to a half a gallon per hour. And it runs at 1,800 RPM. So if anyone wants to buy the right generator and they're handy, I'll give you the model number. It's an MEP-002A. That's the two-cylinder version. We can run our whole farm on 5,000 watts.
That's awesome. Awesome. Vincent, we got a caller on the line here from Spokane, Washington here. Sheldon, you're on the show. Got a question for Vincent?
Well, I want to offer something to his listeners who are handy, as he put it. I was having some problem with 120 unit, fluctuating on RPM, depending on the fuel tank height mm-hmm. and the atmospherics and so forth. So mm-hmm. what I did was I got an old horizontal shaft and I got a car alternator and I hooked it up to work in belt mode. And from there, I got my deep cycle batteries, two of them off the boat. And from there, I went to the local Habitat for Humanity or Value Village, whatever you got. And you go and you mm-hmm. get the biggest UPS you can find, the kind that people give you for free because they can't afford to replace the batteries. You mm-hmm. rip the batteries out, you hook those up to your 12-volt car batteries or your boat batteries, your Model 31s or your Model 27s. 29s are getting hard to find. And instead of 15 minutes, 20 minutes to shut your computer off, your Model 27s will allow you to watch four movies with the complete home theater. And those 1,800 APCs, which are good for 1,500 watts, they don't get hot. They don't do anything. And it's a foolproof setup. When the engine decides to change its mind, the alternator is still putting out. It's still putting out that 14 volts. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, Vincent?
I've done that, and I'll tell you why I did that. I went on eBay, and just as you said, I bought almost for free, shipped, delivered, and the UPS without batteries. It takes two. $50. And the brand I bought was American Power Conversion, which I think is the finest brand there is in uninterruptible power. I've talked to back in the day in the 80s when I wanted to standardize the bank on UPS, I interviewed the engineers, and I really liked those guys. So APC, American Power Conversion, is the brand. And I bought a 1,500-watt model, and I did exactly what you said. I opened the cabinet, and I got some heavy cables, which would be the size of jumper cables. And I ran them to two batteries. And they were group 27 marine batteries that I bought at the Chinese factory outlet. Okay? And it looks like we're going into a break. I'd like to finish this.
Sheldon, stick around here. Short commercial break. We'll come right back to Sheldon's question. This is the National Intel Report.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. by Ann. Before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right, as long as you lend a hand.
And this is the National Anti Report. We're going to go right back to the phones. I've got a question from Sheldon in Spokane, Washington, for Vincent. Go ahead and finish up there, Sheldon.
Okay. It'll take probably a couple minutes to finish this explanation, but Sheldon has brought up a very, very good point. So I did this because I broadcast 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, and the power here is flaky, and when the computers go to reset, it takes a couple minutes for them to reboot, and I'd be off the air, and it'd just be awful. So I built one of these things that Sheldon's talking about. So I bought this 1,500-watt American Power Conversion UPS, $50, and it came without batteries, and it's a 24-volt system. So I did exactly what Sheldon talked about. And so in the studio, I had the UPS, and I had the two batteries, and I had them in the Marine battery cases, which are these black plastic cases. They were $8 a piece at the time, and they come with these straps. So you can pick up the batteries and bring them to your boat, you know, charge them, take them with you. And it's a great way to go. So I strapped the batteries in, I had the cables running to the UPS, and I could run the broadcast on the reserve power of these batteries because they're always being charged by AC. Well, one day, about 2 years later, I was not in the studio, and there was an explosion in the house. Literally an explosion. It was boom. And I ran into the studio, and it smelled like acid. Literally, the batteries, the hydrogen gas that came out of the batteries during the charge cycle. As the batteries get older, they get unstable, and they produce more hydrogen gas. And literally, acid was vaporized all over the studio. Closed the door, suited up, opened the windows, put a fan on it, got positive pressure in there, got the acid to exit, and then there was a cleanup mess. So what I'm saying is it's a great idea, but the charging system of American Power Conversion will cause an explosion. Now, did it happen once? No. Does Vinny learn easily? No. It happened twice. Okay. So now I have a better solution for me. And this you may want to consider this. So right now, this moment, I have 1,000 watt, a different unit. I bought 2 of those UPSs from American Power Conversion. I still have both of them, but I tried a different one, and I actually bought the $50 worth of batteries for it. And I have that hooked up to our solar bank, which will provide plenty of reserve capacity should the electricity go down. We have about 4,400 pounds of batteries here that are, charged all the time by the sun. So here's what I did. I have in a central location where if it explodes, it's okay. It won't be as bad, let's put it that way. And so the animals are free from the area of the explosion if there were one. And I wired into this UPS the outlet plug on the outlet connector of the UPS where you'd plug in your computer. I plugged that into Romex 14-2 with ground. And I have a distribution box. And I have outlets all over the farmhouse that are UPS powered. So, for example, if Mrs. Finelli wants to watch a video in the kitchen on a television, it's connected to this UPS. Right now, I'm broadcasting on the same UPS. I'm using 3 computers right now, microphone, mixer, headphone, amplifier, and the internet router. All of it is connected to this 1,000-watt UPS, and it works fine. And it's a great way to go. So, Sheldon, I just wanted to share that. But there's one thing that I did that I suggest you do if you want to do this. And that is that you color code your outlets. So all of the outlets in the house are one of 2 colors. They're either white or ivory. And one floor is ivory, the other floor is white in the farmhouse. But then there are orange outlets, which are isolated ground outlets. I bought them for $1 a piece on eBay. I bought like 10 of them. I've used them up. So I have 10 orange outlets scattered throughout the house, kitchen, couple locations in the kitchen, bedroom, dining room, studio, all over the place. And it's all hooked up to one UPS. So those are my thoughts. But what you're bringing up is a really great, innovative way of using an inexpensive UPS to get 120-volt AC.
Well, my outlets are taken care of. I've got 10-gauge Romex, and as you know, you want to keep the batteries and the connection to your UPS as short as absolutely possible. And I've got those in the back part of the porch. I wasn't so worried about explosion as I was just worried about the gas itself, and I wanted to keep them as cool as I could. So I don't keep them in the house where the wood stove heats the place to, subtropical temperatures. Other than that, I also got one from a store. We had this store here that was closing out, and it had 24 of those batteries in it. It makes 220, 240 actually. And there's still enough juice in there to kill a man. This is 5 years later, and I haven't hooked up all my banks yet. But the reason that led me down this path was I found out that all big screens have something called a silicone rectifier in it, which is very sensitive to voltage and cycles, and some other electronics do also. And my first UPS was a modified sine wave, which, as you know, is a square wave with the corners cut off on it. And
Sheldon, we got the music playing here. Would you like to come back? Sheldon, would you like to come back after the commercial break?
Public Broadcasting. Okay, I'll make it quick.
Visit our website.
Sounds good.
By going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi,
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. And purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
This is the National Intel Report. We're turning back to the phones here. And Sheldon, go ahead and finish up with your question with Vincent.
Yeah, I'm sorry to carry on like this, but I just want to throw in one last thing. The first time I did this, I got a modified sine wave UPS, and the specs aren't on the outside of these boxes, no matter what kind you get. So I just wanted to inform your listeners that if they hook up this thing that Vincent and I've done and they hear a hum on there about 240 hertz, you've done nothing wrong. It's just that every corner of that square wave, which is supposed to be a modified sine wave, this silicone rectifier is treating that as a complete new hump, a complete new wave on there. And you just need to buy a different kind. Your whole scheme is working fine. You've just got a little wrinkle in the middle. That's it. And I had two questions for Vincent real quick. Did you say that gen number was NVP-002-A?
M as in Mary.
Mary? Gotcha.
And I've got just a couple other things I wanted to mention, Sheldon. Number one, I really love calls like this. I can't thank you enough for experimenting and sharing with the audience what you've done. Because what you've done is help others, you know, try, do it yourself, and learn. I think it's great. And I wanted to share with those who are with us tonight why we had these explosions. And it's not what you think. It was lightning. There was lightning in the area. Lightning right outside the farmhouse. So the plasma generated by the lightning went right through the window in the studio and caused the hydrogen gas to explode. Hard to believe, but that's exactly what it was. It literally blew the tops off the battery boxes, blew the tops off the battery. Now, when I say the top, I'm not talking about the vent plugs. I'm talking about when this thing exploded, you could see the plates, the acid was gone, and the battery was blown up, literally blown up. So it wasn't like it just popped the caps off. It blew the lid off the box. It blew the lid off the battery. And it was really, it was unbelievable. And this happens. So if you look at your battery and under the hood of your car or light truck, you will see that it'll say, like, warning, this thing can explode.
Right.
And it is really dangerous. So if you're going anywhere near a lead acid battery, please wear eye protection at the very least.
You know, it's ironic that the very thing that those things were incepted for is what caused your house to almost burn down. Not many people get struck by a string or a lightning and live to tell about it, especially that far away, you know?
Well, this wasn't, the house wasn't struck. This was lightning striking, you know, outside. Let's say, a quarter of a mile away or half a mile away. But it was close.
Okay.
But it was, the plasma from it came right into the house. Through the windows, through the walls, through the roof.
Sorry to have monopolized everybody's time. I have one more quick one, Vincent. When are you on, because you changed your hours there a few years ago, when are you on for Seattle Pacific time these days? Are you on at 4 in the morning still?
Well, I'm on 9 to 11 a.m. Central. So that would be 7 o'clock Pacific.
Okay, I'll extrapolate. Thanks again for coming on. Thanks, both of you. Take care.
Hey. Thank you, Sheldon. Appreciate the call. 1-800-313-9443. Still got about 22 minutes left in the show. Vincent, what other direction you want to go into?
Well, I think we should talk about money.
Okay.
And I think we should ask those who are with us tonight if they want to contribute to RBN. Please give it a thought. We're not saying you have to. But if you want to, if you think the kind of things that you hear on Republic Broadcasting are of interest, maybe life-changing in some respects, it'd be nice if we could keep doing this, right?
Yeah, I agree. Well, you know, it is a very unique platform, Vincent. I was always impressed, and I was lucky enough to get a position on the network. I've always been very thankful for John Stadmiller to believing in me and liking the show I did in Northern California enough to say, hey, come on, join us. Yeah, like I said, we don't get a thing out of it other than the personal satisfaction, knowing that we're educating some people, bringing some programming out there that you can benefit from. And, you know, we need money to keep the lights on. We don't need much, but we need enough to keep things going. And anything you can help give, it helps the network quite a bit. And like I said, we're doing this on our own time. I could be doing other things right now, but I enjoy this platform. I enjoy that we get calls, just like Sheldon calling in and lots of others. Tonight's been kind of a light night. Well, it's been more of a USA Prepares type show. I haven't talked too much politics. I'll save that for my show on Sunday. I'm itching to get back behind the mic again. I took off Sunday, and I am itching to get back there and talk more about the issues, what's going on in politics. But what else is on your mind, Vincent, for education?
Did we ever talk about dings and little chips in windshields? Did we ever talk about that?
Yeah, we did. We did. I made a list here. We did talk about that. We did.
Okay.
You know, I've got a question for you, Vincent. Let me ask you a question. I've got a little problem. I'm out in the country. I had to add an antenna to my roof, not for the TV because I have cable, but I'm trying to pick up better reception for some FM stations, especially the one I do a radio show on, my jazz show, the New Age. Mm-hmm. And I've got an omnidirectional antenna that's not right it's not quite doing what I want to do. So I'm looking at getting another directional antenna this time around, not an omnidirectional, but a directional antenna. And I guess I'm going to have to get up there and just kind of fiddle with it and yell down, am I picking it up? Am I picking up better? Do one of those situations. But my other question to you was, and I have not done research on this, and we have a lot of lightning in Florida. Florida is the state, the number one state for lightning strikes and people lightning strike deaths, mainly on golf courses. But we get a lot of lightning, and I'm kind of worried now that as tall as my antenna is, how high I have it up in the air here, I'm kind of worried about lightning strike and it going down and hitting my rod there and bring it down into the house and frying my stereo out. So I guess the question to you is to make a lightning rod and basically a grounding source for my FM antenna.
Okay, so
Have you ever done that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
FM is line of sight. Okay, so buildings get in the way, trees get in the way, the curvature of the earth gets in the way. So right. FM does not have the ability to travel as far as AM. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at maybe 50 miles.
Right.
And the number one thing is height. The higher the antenna, the better the antenna will be able to pick up the signal. But omnidirectional antenna, meaning it will pick up signal in all around it, 360 degrees of the antenna. There's no gain in an omnidirectional antenna. So if you want gain, what you're going to sacrifice is the omni part of the antenna. So you can pick up a lot of gain. The more you pinpoint the direction, or the narrower the number of degrees that that antenna can point, the greater the gain can be. Okay. So is it just one station that you want to hear?
Yeah, actually, and it's a small station, but I'm picking it up. It's just not the quality I want. And I'd like to listen to my own station. My wife would say, I'd like to hear your show. And I'm just not picking it up very well. So I got this omnidirectional. And the more I start thinking about it, I probably need the directional, and I just need to get up there and find the right trajectory.
Why don't you do this? You have an attic, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do.
Okay. All right. Can you get up there?
Yeah, I can.
Can all right. So the wavelength of the center of the dial of FM radio. So FM radio on the low end is 88 megahertz. On the high end, it's 108 megahertz. In the middle is where most antennas are tuned. So how long is that? Well, if you look at the antennas on most trucks, I guess, because I don't think cars have stainless steel antennas. Trucks do. So if you looked at it and you actually measured it, you'd find out that it's about 30 and a half inches. Mm-hmm. And that happens to be a quarter of a wavelength. So if you multiplied that by 4 and you cut a piece of wire, 4 times 30 and a half inches, and then you cut another piece of wire 4 times 30 and a half inches, and you use that as your antenna. So think about it as if you're standing with your arms stretched out to your sides. Okay, mm-hmm. Where you're facing is where that antenna will pick up. Now, can you put in your attic 2 pieces of wire that are 4 times 30 and a half inches, straight, in a straight line, suspended by an insulator at each end with an insulator in the middle where the 2 pieces of wire join? Can you do that and have it face the radio station?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can try this on the ground. Okay. You can try this in your front yard, your backyard, your side yard. Okay. And you might find out that that works way better than the omnidirectional antenna that's outside.
Okay.
And then if that's the case, you don't have to worry about the lightning, right?
Right. That's true.
Does that solve your problem?
True. Yeah, well, I'll give it a shot. I've just been messing with it, and I thought, well, it's not quite working the way I wanted it, so I don't know.
Okay. So here's what you can
figure this out.
You can go on the internet. You can go on the internet, and you can look up full wave, F-U-L-L, space, W-A-V-E, antenna, FM.
Okay.
And then you can use an antenna calculator and figure out the exact frequency of that radio station. And if you find out the exact frequency of that radio station, you can cut those two pieces of wire that you're going to connect to your antenna leading cable to the exact length. And now you'll have a directional antenna that is tuned to that radio station frequency. And that will be pretty good for $2.
Okay. Okay. Something to do for the weekend. Sounds good. Sounds good. What else you got next, Vincent? Anything else?
Do we ever talk about the kilowatt meter that measures how much electricity devices take?
Actually, you did. I looked that up on Amazon, the same meter you bought, and I thought about that's a great tool. You may want to do a refresher on that, but that's a great tool to have.
The reason I mentioned that, I thought we talked about it, but the reason I know you and I did off air, the reason I mentioned that is we bought a used freezer. Mm-hmm. It's 23 cubic feet. It's a chest freezer. I have a couple comments about this. This thing is an older chest freezer, and I wanted to know just how much electricity it uses. So I hooked up this kilowatt. That's KILL-A-WATT. And that little device you plug into a wall outlet, and it has a receptacle on the front of it and a display. And the display will tell you how many watts the device is using. It'll tell you the voltage that the device is using. It'll tell you the volt amps, and it will tell you how much power a device that's plugged into it has used since you hit the button to tell it to start. So, for example, you plug this into your wall, you plug your freezer into it, and you tell it to start tracking how many kilowatts this thing's using for some amount of time. And you pick the amount of time. So I decided, let's try it for a week. And I found out that the freezer was using 13.2 kilowatts for a week. Okay, well, I'm going to let it run a little longer. Let's let it run for 2 weeks. I'll get a better idea. And it used about a little over 25 kilowatts for 2 weeks. Then I wanted to know, all right, so how much is this costing? So I said to Mrs. Finelli, how much do you think that freezer costs us to run if we were paying for electricity at 10 cents a kilowatt? Mm-hmm. She said, $1.50, $1, $2, something like that. Mm-hmm. I said, wow, okay. Well, it's $1.32. And so over a two-week period, it used 25.2, or roughly $2.50 worth of electricity. Mm-hmm. And that's nice to know, because if you are going to run a generator, you need to know how many watts it's using and how many watts do you need to prepare for. So if you had a 1,000-watt generator, a little tiny one, you could run your freezer on a 1,000-watt generator. But you wouldn't know that unless you had a device like this, or an amp meter, and you did the calculation yourself. So I think this thing is really neat. I found one in a junk store. Actually, it was Habitat for Humanity. I think it was $1. Now, why? Why would somebody sell that for $1? I don't know, but I'm glad they did.
Didn't know what it was. Yeah. You know, you didn't factor in also, Vince, I think we've talked about before, as a winemaker, I talk about thermal mass. So if your freezer was full, frozen, of course, it's going to use less energy than dead space. And that definitely would save you a lot of money, a full freezer, because the cold feeds off the other cold and keeps it cold. Basically, it's called thermal mass. So less energy, definitely. Interesting. Yeah,
and one way, and an easy way of increasing the thermal mass is if you happen to have any of those 2-liter soda bottles.
Right.
You can wash them out.
Right.
You wash them out. And then you squeeze them a little bit so that they are 90% the volume that they would be if they were, you know, the regular size. Exactly. And then you put the cap on. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that water expands when it's heated and expands when it's cooled. It's the only substance that's on Earth that does that. Then you put those in your freezer. And then what happens is there's that thermal mass that will prevent the compressor from cycling on off as much. So with fewer starts and stops of the compressor. The compressor will last longer, and the starts cost 2 to 3x in electricity, because starting an electric motor takes 2 to 3 times the current of running the electric motor. So you'll right. save some energy by doing that. And then if things get bad and you need some water, well, it's in the refrigerator. And if, right. if things get bad and you don't open the freezer, you've got more mass and a lower electric bill. So it, what a great way to go. And then if you're shopping and you need to keep things cool in your cooler, you take that bottle out with you, you throw it in the cooler, and you go off and buy your meats or whatever you're going to do. And then when you get home, wash it off, make sure you're not putting any meat juice on the outside right. of it, put it back in the freezer.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. It's a great idea. Excellent idea. Yeah.
Did we ever talk about battery desulfators?
Say that again.
Did we ever talk about battery desulfators?
No.
D-E-S-U. No, okay. All right. No, pretty cool thing. And if you want to buy one, you'll have to go to AliExpress, AliExpress.com. It's a Chinese website. And the reason I'm recommending that is no one really sells. They make them in China. You're not going to get any place else. And it works fine. If you've got the month to wait, you'll be able to get these for $27. And here's what they do. Right. They are about the size of a deck of cards. And they have two leads, positive and negative, red and black, and two battery clamps. And what you do is you just attach this thing to your car battery. And if the battery is still usable but weak, if it has not frozen and gotten internally damaged, mm-hmm. you can hook up this battery desulfator. And you'll need to hook up a battery charger to it as well. And what happens is, as car batteries, lead-acid batteries get older, the plates get sulfate on them. And it prevents the charging and discharging as well as the battery could normally operate. The battery desulfator will take the charge that's in the battery, and it will ramp that up to about 65 volts. And then bang, bang, bang. It will blast away. It will pulse the sulfate right off the plates of the battery. Now, it takes about 1 day per pound of battery to restore the battery. And you might get, 6 years, 7 years, 10 years out of a battery if you do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's 3 times what a battery would normally last. Now, why do we do it? Well, we have over 30 batteries here at the farm. Some of the trucks have 2 batteries. The bulldozer has 2 batteries. Tractors have 2 batteries. It's like 30 of them. Now, if we had to replace batteries at the normal frequency of every 3 years, that would be 10 lead-acid batteries a year, forever, at $120 a piece, $130 a piece. It's crazy. It's over $1,000 a year. Well, by hooking up a desulfator, you will recondition your battery, but you have to provide current for it. So if you start with a fully charged battery, you just hook up the 2 leads of a desulfator, it will kill the battery because there's no current going in. It's mm-hmm. consuming current. So you hook it up to a charger, like a trickle charger.
Right. And then automatically. Explain the trickle yeah. charger a little bit, the flow charger a little bit about if we had time. Explain
okay.
that a little bit.
Well, yeah. okay, a flow charger, trickle charger provides, let's say, 1 ampere or half an ampere of current to keep the battery from dying. A battery will just, it will discharge just by sitting. And if you have a battery in a car, the computers in the car will slowly discharge a battery. You won't get more than a month out of a car that's just sitting, being unused. So you can hook up a float charger to it or a trickle charger. And you can get that at AliExpress as well for about $4. Yeah. So I really like the one right. that they have. It's in a little package, real short leads, alligator mm-hmm. clips. And the only one I can recommend for the desulfator is it's a blue package. It has a red blinking LED, and it has a display to tell you the voltage that the battery is at. So you could take this little desulfator, hook it up to your battery, and it'll tell you how many volts it is. It will automatically detect 12, 24, 36, and 48. But get the blue one. It's in a blue extruded aluminum case. and it's $27 shipped. We have three or four of them running all the time.
Got it. Now, Vincent, the flow charger itself, I've got a couple of those, and I got one on my little tractor when I need to and downtime. Is there any problem with leaving that on for a specific period of time? Is there a problem if I leave it on for a month or two?
Yeah, I think there is. And I've experimented with that, and what I found out is that it will cause the electrolyte to evaporate over time. Okay. So, and the only thing that you should put in a lead acid battery, and you need to wear goggles, you know, eye protection, gloves, and be very careful. Distilled water, only distilled water, not tap water, not mineral water, distilled water.
Distilled water,
and,
correct.
Yeah, and that's 88 cents a gallon at the Chinese factory outlet. And what I do to fill batteries is I went to Sam's Club and I bought three ketchup and mustard dispensers that they sell for restaurant use. And these about a quart maybe or a little less. And they have a fine funnel kind of a top with a cap. Mm-hmm. And I write on them with a Sharpie, distilled water only. Right. And that's all I use it for. So we have it in our automotive shop. We top off the batteries. And we're getting almost 10 years out of a lead acid battery. It's unheard of, right?
That's great.
Unheard of.
That's great.
And for your tractor, your ride around tractor, I would put a flow charger on it for maybe a week or so, then take it off, put it on a couple weeks later, put it back on. But I would put a desulfator on there and let it run for a month.
Okay.
And then few months later, put it on, let it run for a few days. And you probably won't have to buy a new battery for that for probably 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years compared to 2 years for that little battery, right?
I'll check that out. That's a great idea. Excellent idea. Battery desulfator. I'll look at that. Chinese outlet, huh? Actually,
well,
you said this comes straight from China, right?
Right. AliExpress, AliExpress.com. By the way, I have no financial interest in anything that I talk about. These are just things that I bought as tax deductions for the farm, because I don't need any of these things. The farm does.
Is it still running $27? Are those tariffs digging into that now?
I don't know. I haven't bought one in several months. But even if there is a 25% tariff on it, if you have a few vehicles, you've got a couple cars, right? And you've got your lawnmower. That's three batteries for sure, at least, right? Okay, so if for $27, $30, $35, you could double the life of those batteries, is it worth it?
Yeah. Great idea. Vincent Finelli, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it. USA Prepares on GCN and also rebroadcast here on the Public Broadcasting Network. Please, if you can donate to the network, we'd always appreciate it. We need to stick around. We need to fight the mainstream media disinformation services. And by the way, Vincent, I wanted to say one thing before we parted ways tonight. By the way, people, Jeffrey Epstein's not dead.
Yeah.
Do you concur?
Hey, and thanks to John Stadmiller for letting Steve and me play in the sandbox tonight. Thanks so much, John. I hope you feel better.
Thank you, John. All right, good night. We'll see you later.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.